No need to start with the niceties and catch up. We're just going to get right into the show this week.
This is how rock stars podcast.
Also, guys who are a little bit antisocial.
Good point.
Hello and welcome to episode 165 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany, and with me as always is...
Adam, Vancouver.
Adam, I don't have a house full of sleeping people, like last week's show.
Okay.
Last week's show, episode 164, also known as probably the most boring episode we've ever done.
I didn't think it was that bad. We've done worse.
Did you listen to it?
No.
No. You barely listened to half of it.
Yeah.
Your half of it.
My half was interesting.
No, yours was riveting. But I had like a sleeping people in the house, and I didn't want to wake them. And I just looked. And I feel like I owe it to the listeners. So we're gonna ramp up the interesting factor, the IF we call it this week.
I'm already running at max all the time.
We have something called overdrive, buddy.
Oh, okay.
Afterburner, supercharge.
Okay.
Yeah. Nox, Nas. Not Knox, it's spelled Knox, but it's, I think they say Nas in the Fast and the Furious quintology.
Okay.
So there we go, laughing gas. Roll it, let's do it.
Okay.
I'm waiting for a sound effect.
Oh.
You're not going to bring it, okay. So what's going on, Adam?
I don't know how to answer that. Everything and nothing. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times.
Oh, man, Edgar Allan Poe, genius.
No,
First of all, we're not going to acknowledge that the Canada won the gold medal.
Right. We don't even need to talk about it.
In hockey.
Yeah.
So I watched it on CBC. That's all I can tell you. Watching CBC in Germany made me feel pretty good.
Yeah. The Canadians were good. The end.
Yeah. You know who wasn't good? Everybody else.
Yeah. Everybody else was not as good.
Yeah. Americans did okay though.
No.
Fourth is good. You know? Anyways, moving on. So what's Amazon?
Right.
People are buying. I got an email this morning. One of our listeners bought the color monkey that you recommended.
That's right. That's how I do it.
And he bought that on Amazon.
That's great.
Through us.
I sent him the link to you know, make sure that he was going to get the right thing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Good. So thanks everybody for doing that. Much appreciated. Now... You got stuff to talk about.
I got stuff to talk about. There's a couple of things I want to talk about that are photography related.
Are you okay?
No, I'm fine. I'm great.
Okay.
But I've got things to talk about. So I keep a little notebook of podcast to-do list, things to talk about. So I've got a couple things in my book from this past week.
We'll quit wasting our time and cut to the first one.
Okay. So the first one is I went to see a Disney... It was a stage show, so it wasn't Disney on Ice. It was like a stage production Disney show put on at downtown in Vancouver.
It was like Disney on Ice, but the road hockey version.
Yeah, it was a big stage. It was a pretty good production. It was called Mickey's Rock and Road Show. Uh-huh. And so me and the kids and the wife, we went down there. And the guy sitting next to us, I'm sure other people have probably had this experience if they have kids at some time or another, but the guy sitting next to us sat down and he was with his wife and a baby, no small child, but a baby, probably no more than 4 or 5 months old. But anyways, he had all his bag with his camera in it. And then he had, you know, like a long slender bag, which I thought, what's going on here? Pulls out a tripod, which he sets up right in front of him in the small squeeze where the seats are, props his DSLR on top, and I don't know, the show is already at least 5 minutes old by this point, starts to video record the show.
No, he didn't.
I swear to you, no word of a lie. He's video recording it, and he's... You know, zooming in, zooming out. He's panning.
He's working it.
He's panning. He does not work for them. This is an entry level DSLR. And I had a video question for you because, okay, so, and then he's got a pop up flash. Now, consider this. We're 50 meters from the stage, let's say. Uh-huh. So he's got his pop-up flash.
So roughly 180 feet.
Yeah, and it's completely dark in the place. Like, the kids have glow-in-the-dark stuff, you know, like they're whipping around and things of that nature. And the stage itself is extremely well lit, but everything else is in complete darkness. So, of course, he's got the pop-up flash on. Now, he's video recording in auto, and I'm guessing it's auto because I'm watching, because I'm directly beside this guy, I'm watching the shutter speed change. So I guess in auto with video, is that's typical?
I assume so. I've never shot auto with video. I didn't know you could.
Yeah, I had sort of a video question, but if the shutter speed is constantly changing, how is that going to affect the video at the end of the day?
Well, I mean, in theory, it will change the movement that you see. Like, remember the beginning of Saving Private Ryan when they're coming onto the beach, yeah, and there's that, yeah, kind of staggery, stuttery effect?
Yeah.
That is, instead of shooting it at 1/48th of a second shutter speed, they shot that likely at probably 1/96th of a shutter speed. So what that does essentially is you have less motion and then more time between movements. So everything sort of stopped and then everything moves before the next picture is taken. So you get that stutter effect.
Okay.
So that's what's going to happen in here. He's going to get... If you're downloading this illegally and you got a stuttery Disney video, it's that guy.
But the best part was, so he's taking video, but at the same time, he's also taking snapshots, you know, intermittently throughout with the pop-up flash, which is awesome when it's completely dark and you're 50 meters from the stage and you're just, you know, basically throwing these blasts of light around everybody. I don't know. He must have popped off at least 100 photos in the course of the show.
Wait,
pop-up flash. Yeah.
What is the venue for this?
The Pacific Coliseum.
So the stadium, Coliseum?
Yeah, this was at the Coliseum.
So this isn't like, you know, in his basement where that's fine, acceptable behavior.
Right. No, this is Pacific Coliseum. And again, if you were 15 feet from the stage, I don't know if in my mind it would be a little bit more acceptable, because at least then you might understand that the range of your pop-up flash might actually have an effect.
Well, no. But here's the thing is, little tidbit for this guy, if he's listening, Disney knows how to light stuff on their own. They don't need you hucking it in there.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like you bringing salt to a 5-star restaurant.
Right, yeah.
They know what they're doing.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so wait, first of all, what is the policy on photography and video at the venue?
There's no policy. You're allowed to do essentially whatever you want nowadays, it seems, at these shows. They never make any reference to no photos or video, so it's completely acceptable. And again, there's lots of photos and flashes going off all over the place. So again, I think because it's a stage show, it's more acceptable. I'm not sure about the ice, because I didn't go this year. I can't remember the policy. I've never shot with flash. Again, don't need to.
No.
But yeah, anyways, there was lots of flash going off. So he wasn't the only one by any means. But the interesting thing was, most people who had cameras there, you know, were there to take a couple of shots of their kid and the little Mickey Mouse ears. Like,
right,
you know, a shot of them kind of at the performance, getting ready to watch. But this fellow with his newborn never took one shot of his kid, the wife, themselves. Nothing. It was all of the production. But he didn't start when the show started, and even in the second act, again, didn't start filming in the second act, so until again 5-7 minutes into it. So I was kind of wondering, like, you know, if this is for the internet, then he did a terrible job. If this is even for his own family use, then he did a terrible job. And I thought, well, maybe they're taking the kid to the show, and this kid obviously is a baby, so they're not going to get anything out of it, so they'll watch it, you know, in 2 years from now. But again, if that was the case, you'd hope that he'd at least film the whole show and not just snippets of it.
Yes.
But not short snippets, 25-minute snippets.
What is he going to do with this?
I have no idea. But my problem was that I was biting my tongue so badly. Like, I want to say something, and then I don't want to say something, and in the end, I didn't say anything, and I swapped my seat with my wife after about half an hour, because I just couldn't take it anymore. I was spending more time watching what was going on through his LCD screen than I was paying attention to the performance, which was really good, by the way.
Did you... You know what I think you should have done is let it go on as is, hand him one of our cards and say, "Guy, we are going to rip you to pieces on this week. You should listen because..." And just, you know what? Give us your name now if you want. But we're going to rip you.
And here's the other thing I wanted to bring up, which is a really disturbing trend that I'm noticing out in public venues. Uh-huh. So again, this is a production, a Disney production. And I swear I probably counted 50, if not more, people holding up their cell phones to record, again, video of the show. So they're and the kicker to that is they're holding up their phones in portrait mode to video record 15, 20 minute segments of the show.
You deserve the carpal tunnel syndrome at that point. If somebody comes to you at your physio and says, "Oh man, I got the carpal tunnel," and then they say, "Yeah, I filmed Disney on Ice, off ice, with my phone in portrait mode," you just tell them to get out. "I can't help you. I'm gonna hobble your other arm," is what I'm gonna do.
Yeah, it was super disturbing, and now Lisa, again, my wife, at one point recorded a little video of Sarah, I think it was in a ballet class a year or two ago, and brought it home to show me because it was her first class, and it was in portrait, and I kind of tore her a new one. So ever since then, she kind of, like, you know, gestures like, hey, look at that. They're taking their video in portrait mode.
Do you know how I point this out to people? I basically say, "Hey, what shape is your TV?"
Yeah, that's what I say too.
"Do you have it up and down like they have it at the casinos?" No, you don't. I don't think you do. Yeah. It's not called, "Hey, let's go to the movies. They got tall screen." It's awesome. They've letterboxed it that way.
Yeah.
No. This is tied with the lens cap backwards. That is just, okay. No, I think that's worse. The portrait video is worse.
And I don't think we've ever brought it up, but again, it's one of those things that hopefully everyone listening to this show doesn't do that. And if you do, you should seriously give yourself a head shake, or
just take a look in the mirror. Take a look in the mirror, and that in the mirror, probably widescreen mirror too. It's probably going to be side to side.
Okay, so that's my first rant. This is a more positive rant. My second one is a much more positive one in a photography sort of talking point. Okay, so snowed a ton in Vancouver, and this isn't a weather rant. Snowed a ton in Vancouver from basically Sunday to Wednesday. It did not stop snowing here. So just a ton of snow, which, again, gave us another opportunity to go out, do some tobogganing, throw some snowballs, all the fun wintry stuff. But here's where my point comes. Sunday, we went out, and it was just like coming down in whatever snow comes down a lot in, okay? Uh-huh. Bushels, let's say bushels.
We'll ask Don Komarevsky, he probably knows the science behind it.
Okay, so a lot of snow coming down, and I thought, hey, I want to grab a few photos. We're going to go to the hill near our house and do some tobogganing, and decided, okay, I haven't used my T2i camera in a while. This is why I've kept a backup camera, because, you know, I can take this thing anywhere, and I'm not gonna be too concerned if this thing gets snow on it, or Jack hucks a snowball at the lens or anything. I mean, I don't want it to happen, but I'm also not gonna cry if something happens.
Exactly.
So brought the camera out, and again, right out into the battle zone, and took pictures, you know, while we were on the slopes, the kids sliding at me. Again, I had the same lens you do, the Sigma 30mm on there, which, again, great lens, but won't fit on, doesn't fit on the full frame camera.
Right. So it does fit on.
Yeah, it does fit on, but it won't capture a full frame image.
Correct.
So anyway, so I've got that lens on, and took it right out into the battle zone, and got some great images. Sometimes literally there's snow on the lens as I'm taking photos. Never batted an eyelash, never worried about it. Dried the camera, dried the lens afterwards. Everything still functions perfectly well. But again, one of the benefits of having that backup camera, got photos that I would have never otherwise even attempted to get just based on the environmental conditions. So I posted a few of those on Facebook, and just anybody who, you know, buys a camera and then upgrades the camera might want to consider, you know, hanging on to one of those previous models and not just selling it on Craigslist before they upgrade.
Good call. Or if someone does sell it on Craigslist, maybe pick one up just for the snow day.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Pick one up. And I also wanted to say yesterday, if anyone here is listening in Vancouver and thinking about making a jump to a used full frame, the camera that you bought, the 5D Classic, I noticed one yesterday within 2 hours of it getting posted on Craigslist for like $450. Looked like it was in great condition. So those are out there.
Yes.
Even if you want a full frame to kind of have as a beater upper.
You know what's funny is I you probably knew this anyway. I shot mine silly this week. I couldn't put it down. I shot so much with that camera, which I was going to talk about when we, you know, did you shoot anything interesting? I was going to mention that. Now I have. I don't even know how many hundreds of photos I took with that camera. Just love it.
There you go.
So and I can't.
They're
say
out
enough.
There. Like it's a bargain. You know, if you can find it around $500 or potentially even a little bit cheaper. I mean, seems like it's been getting glowing reviews. Dwayne Gervin used to shoot with it, and he used to rave about it as well. And then like you say, you got yours, and you've been raving about it. So I think there's a consensus. Two's a consensus, right?
Two is a consensus.
Yeah,
great. Of wolves. Great. I think wolves travel in consensi.
Yeah, great camera. Yeah. I always hear people saying, oh, I don't want to, you know, spend the money to make the leap to full frame. But there you go. We're talking about probably, you know, less than people pay for a lot of their entry level cameras nowadays.
Probably, yeah. Now, there are downsides to it. I mean, you know, you talk about the high ISO performance really isn't there.
Right.
Anything past ISO 400, and you know you're getting, I wouldn't say dodgy, because I'll shoot at 640, but anything higher than that, my expectations are low.
Right.
Batteries are, they're no fun. They eat the batteries pretty quickly.
Right.
Other than that, though, I mean, for the most part, the images I get out of it. This week's photo challenge coming up, I shot with the 5D Classic. And so I absolutely recommend picking one up. I'd say for me, $450 would be about the plateau of what I would pay.
Okay.
Because it is old. I mean, it is 2007, I think. I say asking more than telling. Or is it 2000? No, it's 2005, I think. It's 2005 they were announced.
I don't know. You're on your own on this one.
Regardless, it's a ballpark at that time. And so, you know, you are, it may have been beat up. You are taking a risk, but for $450 or below, I would take that risk. It's love it. So
okay,
there you go. So backup. I also love my 40D for that main reason is I've used it to the point where it does not owe me a cent.
Right.
I've squeezed so many photos out of it that I do not abuse it, but I continue to use the heck out of it. In these situations that you talk about, if I go somewhere where I'm thinking, all right, it's going to get banged up, I don't care.
Right.
I don't even throw it in the camera bag. I throw it in my regular bag, just a regular bag, as is. I lost the lens cap. I lost my Sigma lens cap. Did not replace it.
Right.
No, just leave the lens hood on, the end, and that goes right in the bag, and I don't worry about it. And having a beater is, you know, well, same with like, you know, the cars I used to drive in Canada when I was younger. I had, you know, beat up cars. The good news is you can park wherever you feel like it, wherever you feel like. Could have left the it off. But, you know, I've had people come out and say, oh, man, did someone scratch your car? I don't know. Maybe. So I don't care if someone hits it with a shopping cart. But anyways, get a beater. I sent you the link, one of our listeners, and you remember him from the bird episode, Derek Bezuidenhout.
Sure.
Although I kind of want to say it funnier than that. That's his name, Derek Bezuidenhout. That's how I might say it in person.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I'll edit that out. Anyway, he sent me a link. It reminded me to talk about this. I've been meaning to talk about it for about 3 weeks now. Did you see the link of the guy who's recreating the Masters paintings with his daughter?
I did.
Wow, am I bad at photography?
Yeah, that guy's really good.
Jeez. You know what, and he doesn't do in his spare time? Videotape Disney shows. I'll tell you that.
And, I mean, wow, what a cooperative daughter.
Yeah, she is. How old did it say she was? I forget, like six or seven?
Yeah, she looks about six or seven. I didn't actually catch the age or if it was even in there. But
so your daughter's age.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my daughter's 2.5, and right now she's about as cooperative as whatever is the opposite of cooperative.
And also, where did he get all the costumes?
Yeah, I just in general, the lighting, everything. And these happen to be, you know, Vermeer is like, you know, one of my favorite painters, just based on one painting, you know, the lady with the pouring the water in, with the window light, you know it.
Yeah.
Everybody knows it. But those are my favorite painters. And the Dutch masters, man, or technically some of them are Belgian, but this isn't an art history podcast, is it?
No.
Anyways.
But you're going to post the link, though, right?
I'll post the link. Definitely check it out. I was just, like, mesmerized. I was hoping for, like, the occasional bad one just to go, oh, yeah, I'm better than that. But this guy's good.
Yeah, very good. I agree. I was captivated.
Absolutely. So did you shoot anything besides the snow stuff? Did you shoot anything interesting?
I did not.
That was all interesting stuff, though.
Yeah. I'm full up on interesting.
Okay, well, let's talk about me then.
Sure. How about you?
I bought that new cinema lens.
Okay.
Well, it's not new. It's not a new lens. I mean, it's been out for a while, but it's new to me.
And this was a super wide, right?
That was the one I had used. I borrowed Marquardt's last week. He bought a 14mm by a Korean company, South Korean company called Samyang, who makes these.
They
brand them, and they sell them under the brand name Rokinon in North America and Valamex in Deutschland. And so that's the one I bought. I bought the Valamex. And so I'd used his 14mm and thought, wow, this is really cool. It's a full manual lens, but I didn't need 14mm. I wanted to get the 35mm, and he bought the still lens, but I wanted to get the cinema lens. It's actually a movie lens.
Okay.
Which means it's got the aperture right on the barrel, so you can't use your wheel on the back of your camera or the thing. So the camera doesn't control anything on the lens. Everything's on the lens. So you dial in the aperture. It is declicked, so it doesn't click through to each third of a stop. It's just perfectly smooth.
Okay.
So they say, oh yeah, that way you can ramp up the aperture or up the aperture in the middle of a shot, which I've never actually done before on purpose. But it's nice. It's nice for other reasons. It's got actual focus, like it actually stops at infinity and at whatever it is, one foot is the closest to the focus.
Okay.
So it actually stops there. Like, you know how the autofocus lenses, if you turn and focus there and then bump the autofocus, the lens itself inside will move.
Mm-hmm.
So now your focus ring doesn't actually correspond to anything in particular. It's floating.
Right.
That's really, really hard for video, because you're trying to actually pull real focus. And so what you can do now, and I'll post a quick example I shot of how to basically do what's called follow focus or pull focus, changing the focus in the middle of a shot for specific areas to nail all the focus.
Right. So you've kind of got these points sort of mapped out in your scene where you're going to pull focus to.
Correct.
Like, and this is tape, or how are you doing it? How do you mark it?
You usually use little T markers. That's the thing. If you have actors who know what they're doing, hopefully you do, they're going to hit their mark. And that's a big thing. So generally what you'll do is you'll block out a scene ahead of time, and you tell the actor, okay, here's your first position, here's your second position. You hit start in this mark, hit that mark by whatever point in the scene, and you'll have that marked on the lens. Now, what everybody does in the industry is you basically put tape on the lens, just like masking tape, and you'll set focus for the first mark, put a little mark across there, and then set focus for the second mark and put a little mark on the barrel on the tape there as well. So now all you have is two simple marks. You don't have to worry about anything else.
Right.
So mark one, and when they get to mark two, you're going over to the second mark.
Okay.
So anyway, I was thrilled. I love this thing. It's a 35 millimeter lens. That you can get. They make a 28, 35, and an 85. I didn't buy the whole set. Didn't need the whole set. Wanted the 35. Love this thing. I've played around with it a little bit. Haven't shot any movies yet, but that's the plan moving forward.
Okay.
And just love it. And it wasn't too much money. It was a little more than $400 or something like that.
And did you buy it used or did you buy it new?
Bought it new.
Bought it new. And so you ordered it on Amazon or?
Absolutely.
Good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you're making money on this one.
Yeah, so they did. They did just send me a free lens and a bucket full of cash. Here you go, man. You got us. You got us on a technicality.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I love that. I'll post a little bit about that and probably we'll talk about that in the future, a little more expanded version of why it's important.
Okay.
Other than that, what did I shoot this week? I went to the swimming pool with my daughter, shot some point and shoot stuff.
Okay.
Cause I don't like taking the real camera there and in the moisture and all that.
Right. Yeah.
Wish I had your waterproof camera, man.
Yeah.
Should have bought it because she decided all on her own. She wanted to get up on the swim racing diving blocks.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
They have, and just jump in the pool. She'd never done that before. I mean, she jumped in off the side before, right. But she decided that's it. She wants to get up, climb up there. And so I had video of it, but I kind of wanted the one from the water. It would have been really cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I'll have to recreate it when I buy the waterproof camera.
Nice.
Okay. Oh, come on in here, sweetie. Good night, little girl.
Good night.
Say good night to Adam.
Good night.
Good night.
All right, love you, sweetie. I'll come in and say good night when you're... I'm done. I'm leaving that in.
You will leave it in.
I will leave that in. Yeah, so I wish I had that waterproof camera, but still got some really great video, and we had a great time there. I shot another video for my baseball team, like a promotional video.
Yeah, I saw it. You posted it. I watched it.
Wow, did I almost lose my 17-40 mil lens that day?
Okay.
When one of the kids decided to just huck his bat across the gym, and I was on the floor getting a nice, you know, ground up angle, and it missed me by millimeters. Like it bounced, and like you can see it bounce in front of the lens, and me saying, "Oh boy, yeah." I was unthrilled with that kid, but luckily it missed.
Yeah.
But if you haven't checked the video out, check it out. It's about a minute and a half ish, something like that.
Yeah, in German.
In German, yeah, it's in German. I'm going to do the translation, but I have not yet.
Yeah.
Basically, it explains that they go around to all the schools and teach them what baseball is. So there you go.
Okay. Now I know what it was about because I was lost.
Yeah. Hopefully, visually, my goal was to have the visuals tell the story.
Right.
So hopefully that I took care of that. But what else did I shoot? White background portraits. We shot some of those this week. Shot a lot of window light. Posted one of those of my son.
I don't think I saw that.
I just posted it like an hour ago.
Okay, well, that's why.
So that's on there. Love the window light. Again, that's the 5D Classic. Love that lens. Love that camera. And a prime lens, of course. Prime lens at 50 mil at 1.4. And window light, you can't go wrong with that.
Okay.
That, and then the Fashings parade today. And this is the one thing I wanted to mention. I'm trying to blow through these very quickly, but there's a lot of pictures got photographed this week. There's Fashings, like Mardi Gras, like the lead up to Lent.
Yeah.
And so that's the big weekend is this weekend, and all the clubs have their parades all on different little villages and towns and cities all over the place. Okay. And so we went, they had a kids one today, which is pretty funny because, you know, Emily's at the age now where we'll take her. And it's pretty scary. Like the masks they make are pretty scary, even for adults. I have nightmares. they're intricate. They're carved out of wood and they're like these horrible goblin faces and stuff like that. And anyways, but they had a kids version today. So we went to that, but it was literally 6 minutes long, the parade.
Right.
And so I was like, wow, that was the end of that. But afterwards, they had like a Fashings party, like a big giant, like essentially like a beer tent where they would play the Oompa Oompa music. Everyone stands on the tables and drinks, you know, the 1 liter beers.
Right.
But they had the kid version today, which is funny because they still had all the 1 liter beers at the back. They still had all those people doing that. But up front, they had all a bunch of kids' games and dancing and stuff like that. And it was like just mayhem, just packed with kids, all dressed up like Halloween. That's a big thing here.
Okay.
Yes, you dress up in your, for my daughter, it was a bee costume.
Nice.
Point being, I did not even know that this party existed, let alone that we were going to it. So I had only packed the 70 to 200 F4 and trying to get any photos inside with that lens. It was pretty dark. Kids everywhere. Couldn't get a good angle, you know, on my daughter dancing around. So it was a street fight just to get anything.
And did you get something?
Yeah, I got a couple, but it basically the method was put it on 1/50th of a second was the fastest shutter speed I could get at ISO 1600, and put it on motor drive, again, the 5D Classic, and just fire 10, 12 shots for everyone that I wanted to try to get.
Right.
Hoping that one is going to be usable.
Yeah. That's and tough. So, that's tough sledding there.
Yeah. So about 100 photos yielded, I'm going to guess 4.
Oh, well, that's better than 0.
Better than a 0. So there you go. That's everything that we got shot this week.
Okay. All right. And the end.
The end. I know. I got to go do some stretching or something.
I thought I need a nap.
Woo! Photo challenge. This was your photo challenge, so you introduce it.
I believe the photo challenge was wind or air.
Now, did you have something in mind when you issued this, or this was just on a whim?
I kind of had something in mind.
Okay. Is it the photo you took?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
It's the photo I took. I have this... am I going first?
Is that? Yeah, sure. Why not?
I have this big fan that I bought, I don't know, last year, 2 years ago, that I use in our room. I enjoy the cool breeze in our bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Just one of those things year round, doesn't have to be warm, cool. I just like air blowing across the room. It's a circulation thing. air circulating. Anyway, so I saw this.
Okay, 10 more minutes on this.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm looking at the fan because it's literally 3 feet from my face where I'm podcasting. And I just thought, hey, there's a fan. Maybe wind. That thing blows wind. Maybe a photo somehow using the fan.
Yeah.
And that's why I issued the challenge. And then I tried to how to figure out, okay, well, what am I going to do? I was thinking maybe I blow some confetti around, and then at the end of the day, I think no, I'm gonna blow the hair. My daughter has long, kind of flowing locks,
uh-huh.
So I thought perfect subject for a photo. And then I kind of thought, well, how am I going to make it interesting? So played around with angle and composition, and here's what I came up with. So
that's great. So this was shot inside. Good fake out. Good fake out. The black and white does make it look like that. I thought that was the sky.
Okay.
I knew it was lit, though. I figured it was lit.
Yeah, because of, the catch light, you can kind of tell.
Yeah, it could be sunlight. I mean, really, but it, to me, it was like, all right, this is lit, but it looked like it was outside with the blue sky.
Right.
Because it is black and white, you know. And it looked like she was kind of jumping up. Like, this could have been like a tight shot of her on a trampoline, even.
Right. Yes. So, absolutely.
So yeah. So I like it.
There you go. So that's just my wife kind of holding the fan sort of under and angling it until we get enough movement in her hair. And I used my Pringles can light to kind of light her hair from above and behind her. So you see,
uh-huh.
You know, you get the detail in her hair. So that's strip light effect. Just literally probably 10 inches above and just out of frame, so to get the light there, and on super low power because of the close range. And then the softbox is creating the key light. And then because I took a couple of shots, and the shadows underneath her chin were far too dark, so then I just with one hand held the auto shade underneath her, like the silver bounce that I use.
Yeah,
so big silver auto shade underneath her chin to make those shadows a little lighter, and then you can see the contrast, like her neck, and you know she's got serious neck muscles. This this photo really highlights like the musculature in her neck. I've
really
taken
really defines her her neck.
Yeah, you can see how dark the shadow is behind her neck, and then because of the bounce being forward placed, you can see obviously the different tone in the shadows, which again, one of the things I liked about the photo.
Now generally she will do a whole bunch of neck push-ups just before the photos though.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. She mostly neck curl-ups.
Yeah, yeah, just to flare them. Yeah, that's what you do.
But this photo kind of reminded me of, like, I don't know, like a hair commercial or maybe like a Gap commercial or something. I don't know. It just, I like the movement. Like, again, she's not really moving, but it looks like she's just whipped her head around.
This is almost a Gap commercial, yeah. Yeah, like the photo. Nothing to cry. The one imperfection is it looks to me like her eye might be slightly soft in focus, but that's not even.
I agree. It is slightly out. I completely agree.
The only reason I pointed out is because it doesn't wreck the picture at all. It just everything else. It's just a great photo. So there'll be no crying over that slight softness. That's ridiculous to worry about.
But I noticed it as well. But again, of the five or six pictures I took, I like this one so much better than the other ones. The other ones did not. Again, the angle is kind of what did it for me, and so much movement in the hair that I thought, again, the hair was the focus of the photo and certainly not the eye. So yeah, it didn't bother me.
Absolutely. I'm in.
All right. Which one are you going with? You have two.
I'm going to go with the one that's just labeled 165, the two birds.
That's the color one, right?
Yeah, the color one.
Okay.
Now it's right. The reason there's two. Let me start with that. I had an idea what I would have wanted to do, and it was about the same as what you were doing, but I don't have a fan, and I wasn't going to make the effort to go and dig one up from somebody. I was going to do pretty much the same photo with my daughter's hair.
Okay.
She wouldn't have cooperated, so I'm glad I didn't do that. In fact, the pigeons cooperated more than my 2-year-old daughter. So. And that was not at all. So anyways, so I went into town one day and thought, you know, I'm going to shoot these pigeons. I'm going to shoot something interesting with the pigeons. So I had a friend of mine come along and as a voice activated light stand and, basically going to run around and figure out how to light these. I wanted to just knock the ambient down in town. This is daytime. We shot this.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, just try to do something interesting with backlighting with pigeons. And so I had one when I shot, like the version two. I'll talk about that quickly because this is what I thought was the go-to image. I thought when I shot this, yeah, I had it in the camera. I thought, oh man, this is the one. You know, it's kind of it's mysterious, and you know, I don't know. And then I got home and I tuned it up a little bit, got it just where I wanted. And then I kind of thought, it's not that good. It's not. It wasn't my favorite of the two photos. That's what I'll say.
Okay.
And so I figured, like, you know, like you say, it's a little artsy.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like the image, and I think it's close. And who am I kidding? I'm not trying this again because it was like pulling teeth getting these things to do what I wanted. Maybe I didn't speak good enough German to the pigeons. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I ended up pulling the trigger because this sat in the Dropbox for like 2 days before I decided, no, I'm going with this other one. So let's talk about this other one. I think it's just a little more obvious about what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And there you go. Two pigeons in flight. That's the air, the wind beneath their wings. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. There you go. That's it. I like what happened. I like the backlighting on the first pigeon's wings. I like how they kind of illuminate and glow through.
Yes, I agree. I like the photo. The only thing that I don't like about the photo is the how much light is hitting the street, the cobblestone.
You're correct.
It just distracts from the image. Like if somehow you could have got that light hitting the wings without it, you know, hitting the street, I think it would be far better. I know that presents itself quite a challenge, but that's the only distraction from the bird and the wings is the fact that I cannot help but be drawn towards the light on the stones.
You're absolutely right. Now, this is an adjustment we tried to make. I didn't have a snoot or any flags with me. But we tried to basically get the flash lower and shoot up to try to keep it off. And so this is one of the first ones we did. And after this, we couldn't quite time it right with the pigeons. It was after this one. This one's a side lit one. It was after this that I decided I wanted to kind of go with the completely backlit, so we see the light in the shot. Kind of similar to what my challenge from 2 weeks ago.
Right.
But I ultimately, when I got home, I liked this thing's wings, and I also don't like in the top of the image you see the sort of the darkened stairs they take away from it. But this was the best bird photo of all of them. So.
Okay.
There you go.
All right.
That's it. That's the photo challenge.
Great. I win.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Obviously. What's your challenge? Yeah. This week's topic, all about the Benjamins, man.
Okay.
We had a listener question. Who sent the question in? Do you remember?
No.
Oh, man. I should have wrote this down. You vamp a little bit, and I'll see if I can find it.
Does it matter?
I think it's nice to say.
How about we start talking, and if you find it, we mention that at the end.
Yes, okay. Billy Sounds Vaughn. Billy in Tennessee.
Great, Billy boy.
Tennessee Flat Top Box, I think is his nickname.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Whew, good thing I got that.
I want to say Billy again.
All right, yeah, Billy.
Billy.
Have you seen Midnight Express?
I thought that was from something else.
It was from something else. It was from I'm going to say Cable Guy or something.
Yeah, it's something with Jim Carrey.
He's making fun of Midnight Express. Oh, okay. That's what it is. Written by Oliver Stone. Yeah. He says hi guys. Alan, big fan. Adam, meh.
Not so much.
he says, meh. No, because he specifically asked about, this is based on you, for you.
Okay.
He wants to know about pricing for amateurs who might be asked to do a job like Adam was. Right. And I forget which one this was. It was the one you turned down, the hockey one.
Right.
Because he was asked by a local rec league that his kids used to play in, and they want action picks and whatnot. So he's conflicted. He wants to know whether to charge a fee up front or just specify that they can't give out the images but can be purchased from him. So I said, well, let's talk about how we price things. And because it's kind of it's not an easy answer, unfortunately.
No, not an easy answer at all.
So let's figure out, how do you price yourself as an amateur? Now, first of all, first things first, I want to get something out of the way. When you're an amateur and you're pricing yourself, are you competing with the pros?
No.
No, of course you're not. This is one of the things I never stop hearing from whiny pros saying, these guys are ruining the market. They're not. They're absolutely not. If somebody's looking to pay $30 for photography, they weren't going to pay $5,000.
Right.
You're not devaluing the market. The market changes, move on. That's how, and these people are technically eating into my profit margin, and I don't care. Get better at what you're doing if you want to charge more.
Right.
There you go. That's my little rant for you.
Okay.
Okay? So with that in mind, if you are a hobbyist, is it ethical to undercharge for your services?
I don't see why not.
Yes, it is ethical. It's a free country, man. Unless, of course, you're listening from a not free country. And then cheap photographers are probably the least of your worries.
Right.
You got other stuff to worry about. So if you're in North Korea right now, worrying about what, your neighbor charges for photography, not a concern.
Okay.
Okay. So when you get asked, first of all, when you get asked to do shoot for friends, how do you deal shooting for your friends?
It depends. I think we've talked about a little bit in the past where if I'm going over to someone's house for a party, birthday party or something, and I'm not formally being asked to take photos, I'll often bring my camera, take some photos, in which case I'm deciding to do it. I am not asking for anything.
Correct. Okay?
So again, if it's on me, there's no expectations, and I don't bring my camera, nobody's going to be upset. Of course, they are going to appreciate it, and they're probably in the back of their mind hoping I might bring it, but it's my decision. There's no obligation on my part.
Right.
So those are the freebies, okay? So now...
I do not like doing the unsolicited stuff where I don't go out and shoot photos and then have that awkward conversation with somebody and say, okay, yeah, I'm going to need $50.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. So if I'm formally being asked, then before I go to do it, usually something is negotiated. Now, my friends know now that I've done enough of this work that they know now if they're asking me to do it, that there is the expectation of a charge.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say, okay, just for the sake of what I typically do, is that if I'm going to charge someone who I don't know to come and do an hour worth of photo shooting, then I'm probably going to charge $150 for going out there, spending an hour out there, coming back, probably spending at least another hour editing. I'm basically factoring what is my time worth. Now, that said, if it's a friend asking me, I'm probably going to charge them half of that.
Right.
So that's just my thing is that, okay, how much is your time worth? I still have to charge them something because I'm not asking them to come over and, spend an hour rewiring my stereo system just out of good faith. So I have knowledge that they don't have. They're asking me to do something that's going to take me time, not just coming over there, but also my own time away from other things I could be doing to edit.
Time away from what?
Time away from spending with my family.
Blam! There's the big one.
Yeah.
Now this is what I made a note about. This is you know, because I still do on the side. I do you know, photo stuff for friends and you know, and somewhat friends. I guess when I do it for not really friends, that's just my job. You know, so when I do it right. for friends, that's a different situation. But I do exactly what you know what you say. Probably charge them half, a little bit less than half, because I charge. Paying clients more, but
right.
not much more. Vancouver does, you do pretty well. Anyways, when I was single and didn't have kids, my time seemed to be a little bit, worth a little bit less to me. You know, now whether that's right or wrong, it's probably wrong. Now that I have kids, you're basically paying me to be away from my kids.
Right.
So I don't really feel like coming out and doing you a solid just because I would love to play with my kids.
Right.
You know, so that's what you look at, first of all.
Yeah. And for me, I have my weekday job. And so photography is going to happen on the weekends, which is all my family time. So if it's going to take me away from that family time, it has to be worth something.
Right? Absolutely.
So again, you have to figure out, I think everyone has to figure out what is that time worth to them. And then you come up with the number that works for you. So I've figured out, you know, what makes sense for me to take that time and how much of that work I'm willing to do. Like I really don't want to do a ton of that work because, like I say, I only have X number of hours and the weekend is kind of downtime for me. So I just, in my mind, if I did one job a week, that would probably be the max. I'm not doing that now. I'm mm-hmm. doing a job every, I don't know, once a month, I'd say on average, and more certainly around the holidays and when the weather's good. But yeah, I don't really want to have a job to do on Saturday and Sunday because it's just not really what I want to be doing. I have another source of income.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, that's exactly how I feel. And so generally when you're going to establish what your time is worth, let's say you're going to be you want to have a rate card so that people phone you and say, "Hey, listen, you know, do you feel like you just charge by the hour or do you want to charge for the photos later?"
Yeah, I'm not worried about charging for the photos later. I'm just, here you go.
Right.
Here's the photos. I try to direct them to printing them at a reputable establishment. That's one of the things that I do uh-huh. push for. And I've talked about that in the past, but as far as charging for the photos, no, I have no interest in that.
I don't do that. Even on my pro jobs, I don't have that business model. And for one reason is that it's kind of I consider it a dead business model. I think a lot of people do because there's so many ways around it and it's a little bit, I don't know, there's pros and cons to it. for example, if I'd consider doing it when shooting portraits of kids, like people bringing their young kids over who are maybe 3 and 4, and if I say, hey, listen, I'm going to charge you $150 an hour, and you can keep, you know, you can keep the photos, the digital negatives, so to speak, and get mm-hmm. as many prints as you want, that's wonderfully freeing for them. They want to get their Christmas cards, they go do it. They want to get, you know, pictures for grandma and grandpa, they just go do it. They don't worry about coming to me and think, oh man, should I have to pay him the $15, you know?
Right.
So that's great. And plus, I don't want to just piecemeal it together and have to deal with each individual photo and billing and all that stuff. I don't like doing that. I hate writing invoices.
Right.
And so I don't want to do that. The only upside to that business model is if you bring your kids over for portraits and they don't cooperate, now you've spent $150 and have zero photos. Now, one way around that is to basically say, okay, I'm going to charge you a sitting fee. It's going to be $50 for the hour, let's say. Bob, I'm just throwing out numbers randomly.
Right.
It's $50 for the hour. I'm probably going to get you 20 pictures. And so now they're going to be, you know, $10 a picture. That if you want to buy the digital negative from me, you can order as many as you like in a one-time thing and or a package up to and including, say, $200. So now it's going to cost you $250 instead of the $150, but if you go and your kid doesn't, you don't get any pictures, it's only $50.
I gotcha.
Okay, whew, I was worried about that. Now that's just kind of a safety net really for the client. Now I haven't actually done this yet, so I'm not sure how I would feel about it. On the consumer end of it, because I don't like sort of any hidden charges. I like to know what things cost at the beginning.
Yeah, I agree. I think from the consumer side of it, for me. If I'm going out to buy photos or anything for that matter, I like it to be sort of one and done. Here's the price. Here's what you get for it. The end. I'm never going to have to go back and worry about, you know, like you say, costs down the road or other costs that I'm not fully prepared for. So this is easy. If you want to get prints, you've got the files and you can get prints. So
right.
I always think of how would I want it? And I assume that the way I would like that is the same as everybody else who's smart.
Which is, is exactly how I operate as well. Yeah. So when it comes time to figuring out your rate, well, that's not easy to do. Because first of all, you're going to get a lot of pressure from people to undervalue yourself. You know, like the whole Craigslist thing. If you look at it for anything on any service on Craigslist, like photography or whatnot, everything is, hey, I'm looking to hire somebody. It's $6 a day. And so you get the idea that, oh man, I'm competing with this. Well, you're not competing with that. Those things don't exist. So that's one. So the first step is, and this is like, you know, marketing 101, I'm pretty sure, is figure out what the market will bear.
Right.
If people are gonna pay you $1,000 an hour, then you charge $1,000 an hour. As silly as it sounds, don't feel bad about that. That's what the market will bear. Now the market's probably not gonna bear that. So you're going to have to reevaluate, okay, what's the most I can charge and still, you know, work.
Right.
But before you get into all that, think about your equipment. What is the replacement cost of your equipment?
Right. Yeah, you have to factor that in for sure.
What is the wear and tear? You only get X number of clicks out of your lens and it's going to break and it's going to need repair. Now, this happened to me about a year and a half ago with my 70 to 200. It needed repairs. Now, it was a $600 lens at the time. And the repair was $250. And so I thought, wow, you know, like, did I factor that in? Or did I figure it was $600 and that was it? It's gonna run forever.
Right.
So like that's bad thinking. So it's not going to last forever. Factor that in. What's it going to replace? Is it going to last you 5 years? Probably. So take that $600, let's say, and make it, say it's $120 a year. That's what it costs you to rent your lens. Just your cost.
Right.
Next, as we talked about, what is your time worth? What is your time worth away from your family? Or even if it's not your family, what is your time worth away from, you know, watching TV? Whatever it is.
Right.
Playing softball, whatever it is that you're doing, what is it worth it to not do what you want to be doing?
Yeah. And okay. I think for a lot of people, is this your source of income. What, you know, if, right. if you, you have to look at this totally different. If you're planning to make a business model out of this, and this is going to be a primary source of income, then there's a completely different line of thinking versus, you know, this is just a hobby you're going to do once in a while, but you don't want to be completely taken advantage of. And like you say, you have to value your time a little bit, I hope. So you want to charge something, and you don't want to get into the habit of just handing out your time for free all of the time. So right. again, you're not trying to get rich here, I don't think.
Well, here's the thing though. You're not trying to get rich probably, but I learned a valuable lesson that they didn't teach me at school is that you don't have to work very hard to be poor.
Right.
I mean, you can. You can go and work like crazy. I've done it. I've worked on jobs that I end up getting paid less than minimum wage and think, wow, this is really not worth my time. And you know, there's other things you learn, there's experience you get and all that. And perhaps you're trying to make the move from amateur, from hobbyist to pro. You want to make that move. But be warned, if you undercharge by a lot when you're a hobbyist, be prepared to work at that rate for a long time as a pro.
Right.
It's very difficult to, you know, come in and say, yeah, for a short time only, $10 an hour. And then 6 months later, you're asking for $200. Guess what? That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Something else to consider when you talk about your time is figure out how long it actually takes. Now, what's your setup time? What's your teardown time? Transit time, you maybe want to factor that in. What is your editing time? How much editing do you expect to do on the back end?
Right.
Now, you're going to figure out a shooting to post ratio that's pretty consistent for yourself. When it comes to shooting video, it's kind of shifted now with HD, but it's a different story. But for the most part, I have a basic shooting to post ratio. When I go to shoot, however many hours I'm on set, quote unquote, for, I can assume a minimum of three times that in the post for a basic video.
Right.
Like for something I did, like let's say last week for my baseball team there, I was at the gym where we shot it for probably 2 hours. And it took me roughly about 6 hours to complete that once I got home. So I basically have, if people ask me for a basic, for a ballpark price, I tell them how long you want me there, times that by four. That's my hourly rate. Boom. That's what I charge.
Right.
You know, and obviously it goes up from there if there's a little wiggle room depending on what you're doing. But for shooting stills, I find for the most part, I work very hard at getting it right in the camera, which means there is still some post-production time, but very little. I don't do a lot of Photoshopping. It's a little bit of color correction, maybe some cropping or straightening, little bits of stuff. I can generally get away with on light jobs, I can get a 1+1.
Right. So that's what I'd say I spend.
Right. So every hour, and you know, in all honesty, you're probably going to eat it on that. Every once in a while, you'll do a 1.5 hours to one. Yeah. But generally, if you're focused, you can get a 1-to-1. So now when you're charging $150 for a job, you're really not charging $150 an hour.
No, not at all.
You're now charging $75 an hour.
Yeah.
And your setup, takedown time, teardown time, all that is worked in as well. So all of a sudden, it doesn't sound as awesome.
Yeah.
And so, but what you'll find, whatever your ratio is, on your next job, just try that. Even on your next shoot, if you go out to shoot someone, shoot your kids sledding, spend an hour and figure out and treat it as a real job and go and figure out how long it takes you to process and export the images to what you would deliver to a client. And you'll find that that's pretty consistent the way you shoot. What are your overhead costs? Gas, etc., you know, all the things that are not photo related but do require you to get there. You have to think about all those things.
Right.
Now, the last tip. Here's one tip that I do. I offer professionally and privately. And I've never had to honor this. I offer a 100% money-back guarantee to everybody.
And why do you feel like you need to do that?
I don't know if I need to do it. It's just how I operate. I want the client at the end of the day, which I kind of hate that phrase actually. At the end of everything, I want the client to feel that they ripped me off a little bit. that they thought, you know what? Yeah, I paid them $150 for that hour, but I got $200 out of them. You know?
Yeah, I question, unless it's a selling point, like unless you're trying to negotiate something that isn't already a done deal. I question why, you know, you do your work well.
Yes.
Right. So the only positive, like, I could see coming out of that is if you had someone that was sort of on the fence about whether or not they're going to enlist your services, mm-hmm. that's kind of going to put them over the top. For anybody else who's already said, hey, Al, we want to hire you to do this work. I just think that it opens you up to that potential jerk who would just do that to take advantage of somebody. And that guy's out there somewhere. You might not have done work for him yet, but he's out there somewhere.
And I'm fully willing to run into that person. I never have. In however many years I've been working as a professional, not quite 20 years, but more than 10. I've never run into that guy. I've never, ever, ever had to honor the money back guarantee. And I don't open with that. It's not, hey, money back guarantee on the front. But if it ever comes, like you said, if it ever comes on the fence, I will tell people that. Or if anyone ever complains, I'll say, if you don't like what I did, I will give you your money back. No questions. I want no questions asked. And it's never come up. And if it does, it does. I'm willing to take that risk.
And see, yeah, I would not tend to ever think that way, because the reality of it is you still invested a whole bunch of your time, uh-huh. and you did work that was, like you say, taking time away from your family. And, you know, it's one thing if you know you totally blew it, like you didn't get anywhere close to, and then I don't think you have to offer that up front. I think anybody who takes pride in their work, if they do a poor job, would probably say, you know what? This just isn't up to my standards, and I'm not comfortable with you paying me for this work. Like, that's a different approach.
Fair enough.
But yeah, I don't know. I have a hard time with that, because like you say, you have to value your time and the work you did. And if you think it's good, then I mean, I can't see a scenario where you should have to make that offer.
It's never come up though.
So okay. All right. You should pull back on that, though. Yeah. Somebody's told. I'm gonna list your services right now. And I tell you right now, I'm not gonna be happy.
Yes. Well, then, great. That's fine. I mean, I will not work for that person again. And believe me, I will tell everybody that you pulled. But no. The reality is most of my clients are all like the big clients, like national law firms. I have shipping companies, like these big real deal clients who have lawyers at, you know, on staff. I have never signed a contract with any of them, none of them, for large jobs. It's all been handshake. The two contracts I've signed, exactly two contracts in my career, and both times they went. I went to court over it. I actually had to countersue. And so, but every single handshake has been a success.
Okay, so handshakes.
I'm a handshake guy.
All right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't shake your hand.
No, you don't have to. We'll get a contract and then we'll see you in court, buddy. So I think that's it. Any more questions as to what to do with pricing?
I think you covered it. I think you covered it. I don't know that I covered. I think you made some key points. Figure out what your demographics are in terms of what maybe the going rate is. I think that's somewhere to start there. Maybe you have a friend or a colleague or somebody who's been doing sort of amateur work for a little while, and figure out what the market is, because I think that's going to be hugely variable depending on where you live.
I do recommend doing the Blockbuster Video approach. Just come in, rent movies for $2 for the week, blow the mom and pops out of the business, and then ratchet the price up to $15 a day. And where are you now, Wayne Huizenga?
Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're somebody who's really only taking pictures of your family, and you suddenly want to make a business out of this, Not a bad idea for a while, just to take photos, spread them around for nothing. Just, you know, get the word out that you know what you're doing. How about that as a good idea, a good starting point for most people?
You better have something to show people when you're going to ask for money.
Yeah.
And do that and do that for your, like we just said, do that for your tight friends or family.
Yeah. Yeah.
There you go. Next week's challenge.
I hope you have one because I've been carrying the load for this show for far too long.
Right. Well, it was wind today, so it's either earth or fire. You pick. I hope it's fire because I don't know what I'm going to do with earth.
What do you have one?
Well, fire then. Earth or fire.
Is it really?
Well, we're going to do earth, wind, and fire now.
We have to?
I don't know. I feel like we do.
Okay. All right. Which one?
I don't know. Which one do you want to get out of the way first? Earth is going to be tough.
Let's go fire.
All right, we'll go fire, and then you'll know that Earth is coming. You can think about it.
All right.
Fire.
Yay.
Yep. That's going to be me getting fired off a job and not getting paid. That's my photo. Wah, 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 wah. My kid's starving because I'm, you know, arrogant. Amazon. Buy stuff from Amazon. I think they have a money-back guarantee. See?
Yeah.
They know what Jeff Bezos knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, me and him are tied for knowing what we're doing. Tied for first, me and Bezos. We're going to start delivering our podcast by a flying drone as well. Oh, great. Websites. Where can people find you? Don't tell me Schwartz Chronicles because that
I'm not even going to say Schwartz
Chronicles. That thing is better than Disco Man.
You know what? I haven't even heard my wife say for a month, I should really do a podcast.
Yeah.
Or not a podcast. I should really do a blog.
You know, the thing is I really liked it because I got to keep up with your kids who I miss while I'm living over here. I tell you this in all honesty, I really do like your kids.
Yeah, no, they're awesome.
Yes. No wonder. I mean, they're adopted, but
yeah.
No, that I really, and I love seeing what they do. And luckily you do post stuff on Facebook, but it's not the same when you're, you know, maybe your wife writes a story about it. And so tell her, just quit your job, man. I need to see what your kids are doing.
I'm going to try to make her sign a commitment to one a week blog.
Oh, I take one a month.
Yeah, one a week. I think one a week is what I'm going to push for.
Good. Sunday nights, she could do it.
Yeah, I don't see why not.
There you go.
So that's my stuff. Facebook, for anything recent, check out our Facebook Two Hosers site. And how about your stuff?
AlanAttridge.com for my personal stuff. And as always, TwoHosers.com, where you can find all the links to everything that you need to know about the show.
Great.
Wahoo. The end. That's how I end conversations with people, but right in the middle of conversations when they're talking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The end.
I just say you're done, right?
Yeah. I get fancy sometimes. I'll be fini, you know. It's that's how I do it, but a little pretentious. That's it, Adam. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.